Mr. Bob Carla.
Good afternoon. I want to thank Mr. Richardson for starting my sermon for me. These will tie together very, very well, as you will see in a few moments. In our daily religious life, there are words that we use to refer to ourselves or others use to refer to us. Now, one of those words is Christian. And, of course, it means we're being Christ-like, we're striving to be like Christ, we're striving to emulate Christ, that we look to Christ as our Savior, all of which is correct and all of which is good. We know that Christ is a reflection of God. He's the Son of God. He emulates God. He represents God for us, and he and God decided that he would give up his life so that we can have a relationship with God. Christ, in every year, every Passover, as we read through John, Christ said, I am in you, you are in me, we are together. If they know you, they know me. If they know me, they know you. So we know that Christ and God are a unit, and we know that they are one. Let's go to John 3:16, the most translated piece of literature on the face of the earth, in more languages than any other verse or any other scripture or any other writing of any kind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world so much that he did this. Yes, Christ came, Christ died, but it seems, as I look around and as I watch the world around us and I watch what's going on and I see the bumper stickers on people's car, Jesus saves, believe in Jesus, it seems that the world's forgotten about God. Now, Mr. Richardson just gave a very fine sermon talking about God and God's power and the awesomeness of God. Yet, as we look around us today, it seems that Christ is being pushed more to the forefront. And a lot of people have really kind of forgotten about God and how important God really, really is. You know, when Christ was asked that question, what is the most important thing? He said to love God with your heart and your soul and your mind, with everything. And he recognized that. He saw that. But it seems today, as I look around and I see common Christianity, we refer to ourselves as Christians. Well, there's another term that is used by theologians, one that, frankly, I've not used or heard used much in our own midst. But there is a common term that theologians use, and it's called God-seekers. Now, God-seekers is referring to people who are seeking to become one with God, that want to be close to God. There are hundreds of verses in the Bible that refer and tell us to seek God, that God wants us to seek him, the benefits and the protection that are given us because we seek after God, because we seek to be one with God and have a relationship with God. Now, I started this sermon a couple of years ago, and I put it aside because it's such a huge topic. It's enormous. I have 12 pages of notes. That's 3 to 4 hours of speaking time. So today, I'm going to give you part one. It's not going to feel segmented. The beauty of this is, as we talk about seeking God, and we read these scriptures, and we share these thoughts together, and we think about pursuing a commitment to God, and what God wants from us, God says, I want you to seek me, and we see what he's done, then when I run out of time and it's time to break, it's not going to feel like a break. It's just going to be part one, and then we'll do part two and part three later on sometime throughout the year. It doesn't have to be right away because this is a topic that can be broken down into segments, as you'll see as we go through it. Let's go to Psalm 27 in verse 8. Psalm 27 and in verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I seek. So what David is saying, God told him to seek his face, to seek being at one with him. And he's saying, I heard you say it, and I'm doing it. David was a man, as we all have said so many times, after God's own heart. What did God tell David to do? He told David to seek him, to seek his face, to seek having a relationship with him. David says, I'm doing that. I am seeking you. I do seek after you. Let's go to Psalm 83:16. Cover their faces with shame, so that men will seek your name, O Lord, and your righteousness. So what David's referring to here, if you read the context, it's people that were hating Israel and hating Judah and were at war constantly with Israel, God's model nation. And he's saying, God, what I want you to do is cover their faces with shame so these men will change and seek you and seek your name, O Lord, because that's what God wants. God eventually is going to give everyone on this earth his spirit so people will come to him. And we read where it talks about everybody going to the mountain, everybody talking to each other, everybody talking to their neighbors about God. God started with Adam and Eve in the garden. God wants a relationship with mankind. We've separated ourselves from God. It has not taken the desire of God away from God to be at one with us. God wants us to seek him, to pursue him, to come to him, to look for him, to understand him, to read his word and take it to heart and try to have a close relationship with him. This is something God has wanted from the beginning, and it's something that God still wants us to do. Psalm 105 and verse 4. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. How many times have you been in a difficult situation and either prayed about it that night and tomorrow you had strength, God gave you strength to put up with it? Maybe you had a physical test. Maybe it's a mental test. Maybe there's a problem at work. How often have we gone to God and prayed to God? That's seeking God. When we pray, we're seeking God. We're looking for his help. We're looking for his strength. How many times have you got up and didn't really feel like coming to church? But we went ahead and came, right? What happens when you walk through that door? You're seeking God. You came in this building to be with other God seekers and to look for God, to have a relationship with God, to become one with God. When I walk through that door and I'm having a tough day, I feel better instantly. And I've talked to many of you. A lot of us have health problems in this part of our life. And a lot of us by Friday, let's face it, are spent. We're living in Satan's world. We fight Satan all week long. And sometimes, Sabbath morning, I would like to just get up, sit down with my Bible in my armchair and, quote, it's a day of rest, right? That means I can stay home and just sit in my armchair and read my Bible, right? Well, no, we're not to forsake being with one another, are we? But when we come here, we're not just coming here to be with each other. We're coming here to seek God. He spoke about God. I'm speaking about God. Whether we talk about Jesus Christ, God's Son, we are learning about God. We are seeking God. It's not a term we're used to hearing. Being a God seeker is not a term that is common. But I have several books at home written by different theologians listing scriptures that refer to God seekers and the blessings they receive and what it means to be someone who seeks God. When we come into this room, when we come into this building, we are seeking God. That's what God wants. And there are blessings that come with that. There are adjustments in our mental attitude that come as a benefit from seeking God. Let's go to Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Israel, it seems, had a relationship where They were constantly getting in trouble. And we've all read many of the scriptures. They would come back to God. They would begin to seek God like he wants them to, and God would bless them. He'd fight their battles for them. They would prosper. They would grow. They would do well. When they drifted away from God, when they quit seeking God, when they quit looking to God and praying to God and offering to God, then they would drift away. Then they would be captured. They would be conquered. You know, different empires would come in and take the country over. And then they would cry out to God. They'd start seeking God again. They would cry out to God. And God said, okay, I hear your begging. I hear your pleading. I hear your crying. You're talking to me again. You're seeking me again. So I'm going to bless you again. Over and over and over. As we see that, we can see that God really wants a relationship. And if we seek that relationship, he will bless us. He'll bless the whole nation, as he did with Israel, as he did with Judah. Let's go to Amos 5. Amos 5 in verse 4. Amos 5 in verse 4. This is the Lord. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. And I would say seek me and live, not just live, but live for eternity. We understand. David understood. David knew what the plan of God was. When this is written, it is written not just with the concept, if you seek me, I'm going to save you as a physical nation. The leaders of Israel understood God's plan. Those men knew. They had God's Holy Spirit. Those men knew that they were striving for eternal life. That's the goal that's in front of us. If we seek God, God will give that to us. That's the reward that we get for seeking him. Let's go to Zephaniah 1 and verse 4. Zephaniah 1 and in verse 4. And this is another repeat of what is happening. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem because they've cut themselves off. And he goes on to say, you're worshiping idols, you're worshiping other things in your rooftop, you're looking at the stars and trying to determine what to do and making decisions by people who look at the stars. In verse 6, those who turn back from following the Lord and neither seek the Lord, he wants them to seek him, but they're not, nor inquire of him. So the people were not seeking God. They weren't even asking about God. And God starts off saying, I'm going to stretch my hand out against you. If you're against God, God is against you. If you seek God, God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to have a relationship with us. He wanted a relationship with Adam and Eve. Mankind down through history has rejected God over and over. Israel and Judah did it over and over and over. They couldn't even get along with each other, let alone get along with God. But every time they turned to God, God blessed them. And we see it over and over and over. God wants us to seek after him. Jesus Christ is important. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They determined that he would die. God said, I am going to give up my son so that all people can have a relationship with me. Everybody can seek coming to me. And Christ is part of that. Just as God is Christ's Father, he is going to be our Father. We are going to be adopted into this family. That's what God wants. God is seeking to be one with us. He wants us to look after him. He wants us to seek him and look for him. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6 and in verse 33. But seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness, God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The scripture is talking about clothing. It's talking about a place to live. It's talking about being the daily things that we need in life. The things that we stress about all week long. The things that we go to work for every day and work our entire lives until we're dead. All of those things God promises. If you look for me, if you seek me first, seek first the kingdom of God and seek first his righteousness, seek a relationship with God and a relationship looking to God. He says, I'm going to give you everything. It's all going to be there. I've been attending the Church of God for 53 years. I've never seen anybody starve. Not one. Matter of fact, most of us have a weight problem. I don't see anybody suffering out there. Have I known people that lost a home that they were renting and had to stay with somebody else or stay with a relative? Yes, I have. Have I ever known anybody in 53 years that had to sleep in their car with no food? No. No. And if you did, shame on you for not letting us know that you needed help. Because none of us in this room would let any one of us sleep in a car with no food. We have homes. We have automobiles. Maybe we'd like a nicer home. Maybe you'd like a nicer automobile. Maybe I would like to have steak every night instead of hamburger. But we're taken care of. We're in this room seeking God. We're in this room worshiping our God. Our God is looking after us. He does. He promises it. He says, I will give you this. I will look after this. Let's go to Psalm 53. Psalm 53. God desires that people will seek him. God wants us to come to him. He wants us to look to him. He wants us to look for him and to look for a relationship with him. Psalm 53, verse 2. God looks down from heaven on the sons of man to see if there are any who understand, if there are any who seek God. Understanding comes from knowing God. I will not look that scripture up. We all know there are many. Understanding comes from having a relationship with God. And God sits in heaven and he looks down to see if there are any men and how many men are actually looking to have a relationship with him. God wants that. He's looking for it. He wants to see someone who wants to have a relationship with him. Acts 17, verse 27. Acts 17, in verse 27. God did this so that men would see him, would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us, each one of us. So God wants men to seek him. God wants us to worship him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to have a personal relationship. It says that God seeks. God wants that relationship. He wants us to chase that relationship and to pursue that relationship. God seekers are committed to pursuing him. This is a commitment that we need to have. This is something that we need to place foremost in our lives. We need to strive to have a close relationship with God. We need to pray regularly. We need to talk to God. When, you know, I talked here a few weeks ago about constant prayer. Throughout the day, when you're doing something mundane, think about God. Talk to God. Tell him what's happening in your life. Ask him to help you with the little mundane, everything, everyday things of life. There's nothing that God won't help you with. Food and shelter is very basic things. God said, if you worship me, if you look to me, I will take care of all your needs. All the basics are covered, guaranteed. If you're having a problem at work, talk to God about it. He wants that. He wants you to pursue him. He wants you to talk to him. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. Way back in the Old Testament, this is something that is through the entire Bible. The desire for God, for us to seek him, and the examples of men who did seek him, and the examples of how God took care of them and looked after them. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul, God guarantees that if you pursue, he will make sure that you have a connection with him. If you seek God, God ensures that he's there, he will be there, and he will communicate with you. First Chronicles 15 and verse 12. First Chronicles 15 and verse 12. I like this because this is an example of history in the Bible. This is an example of what God wants and what is happening. We look in this room. We are God seekers. We don't use that term, but that's a term the Bible uses. It uses that word seeking God and God wanting us to seek him. So it is a term. We don't use it often, but it does apply. We're in this room. This is what we're looking for. So 2 Chronicles 15, verse 12, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord. This is when Israel stood there and Moses said, say yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. And all of Israel stood there and they agreed and they made a covenant with God. And they seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and all of their soul. There is a history. There's a history of mankind trying to have the right relationship with God. But we seem to constantly fail. And, of course, that's because, especially in the Old Testament, there were very few people that actually had God's Holy Spirit. The leaders, David, some of the prophets, some of those men. But the nation Israel had so many problems because, in general, the population did not have God's Holy Spirit. And we see the huge difference that makes in our lives because that gives us a better access to God. It helps our heart to be steered in the right direction and we know to pursue God, whereas they constantly kept going back to the old ways that they had seen before. Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63 and verse 1. And of course, this is David, the man, the example that we have that God said is a man after my own heart. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there's no water, my soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me. What is he talking about, no water? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. David is looking at the world and he's looking at his relationship that he wants to have with God. He says, my body longs for you. My soul thirsts for you. Your soul doesn't thirst for water. Your soul's thirst, if it's in the right place, for a relationship with God. What he's talking about here is, I live in a land where there is no water. There's no Holy Spirit. David had God's Holy Spirit. A few prophets had God's Holy Spirit, especially in the time of David. There was nobody else. I look out the window today, and look how many people are in this room, in the metropolis that we live in the thousands of people that are around us. This world has no water. This world has no Holy Spirit. We're in the same position that David was in. And David said, I earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. David wanted to have a close relationship with God, and he did. And God blessed him for it. He is going to be made a king again when he is resurrected. He's going to rule Israel when Christ returns to this earth. David's an example of what God will do for you if you seek God. And I like the inspiring part. David made some big mistakes, didn't he? God still loves him. God still brought him along. God still helped him through the rest of his life. David recovered. He repented and became close with God again. I like that. I like that my God will forgive me and give me a chance to be close to him again when I make mistakes. That's the kind of God that we worship. Psalm 119 and verse 2. Psalm 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. One of the big misconceptions of the world today is John 3:16. Believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved. See it on bumper stickers. I see it on billboards. Believe in Jesus. They'll have a revival. All you got to do in a revival is come up to the podium and confess that you believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved for the rest of your life. And they believe it. They don't know any better. That's not what the Bible says. And to pursue God, what does it say? You have to keep his commandments. Performance. You know, Christ said, I am in you, you are in me. Everyone knows me, knows you. And what did he say? Keep my Father's commandments. He told them over and over, you have to keep my Father's commandments. They're not done away. Nothing is done away. We're all still working with the 2,000-year-old yardstick. Nothing has changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God expects the same thing in Genesis that he expects from us right here, now, today. We're to do the best that we can. You can't be perfect. You cannot earn. And this is where the legalist people say, well, that's legalism. No, I'm not saying that I can earn my way into the kingdom of God. But I can show you parable after parable, whether it's pruning a tree or a vine growing or what. God expects performance. He expects fruits. He expects effort. He expects you to know what his commandments are. He expects you to have a relationship with him. He expects you to read this book and do the best you can with the guidelines that are in it. And if you make a mistake, he's going to forgive you. He gave up his only son so he could forgive you. Because if our sins aren't erased, God cannot have a relationship with us. Do you realize that? Until our sins are forgiven, we can't have a relationship with God because God doesn't associate with sinners. You have to be able to be forgiven. He provides the grace. He provides forgiving. He provided his son to pay the penalty. God did that. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ is important. And I'm not playing down Jesus Christ. I'm saying that the world today, religion today, has reached a point in many facets that it has forgotten about God. And God is ultimately important. Jesus Christ is important. We need to love and respect Jesus Christ and what he did for us. But we have to remember that Jesus Christ is the Father. He is it. He is Christ's Father and our Father. We will become adopted. We're going to be brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. But we have to seek that relationship. We have to be a God seeker. We have to pursue that. Psalm 34, verse 4. Psalm 34, and in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. The heading on this group of scriptures I put together says, God seekers have a sense of urgency. The other day, I gave a sermon, and I talked about prayer. And one of the types of prayers I named were emergency prayers. You know, when you're in a tight situation and you need a response right away. And you're looking for God to help you instantly. Whether it's a car wreck, whether you're having a chest pain, whether you just broke your leg, whether your knee just dislocated. Your neighbor is standing in your front yard screaming and yelling with a baseball bat in his hands. Whatever the situation is that you're dealing with. I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. David got delivered a lot. God saved David. And when you have the king of Israel trying to kill you, I mean, we don't even have the comprehension of the power that a king had in that time and age. I mean, literally. When David was sitting on his throne and a man stood in front of him and said something he didn't like, he had him cut down on the spot and killed and carried away. Boom. There's no judge, there's no jury, there's no nothing. The king is it. If the king is trying to get you, trying to kill you, about the only way you're going to get away is if God's helping you. Because there's nowhere else to run. There's absolute power there. Psalm 63 and verse 1, over a little further. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Once again, this is talking about, I believe, the lack of Holy Spirit in the general population that David can see. And he realizes, because he's not talking about literal water. But we talk about the Holy Spirit and we compare it to water all the time. Living water is going to flow out of Jerusalem. We know that the Holy Spirit is often referred to as a water. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for God to help him with. Hosea 5 and verse 15. Hosea 5 and verse 15. And then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt, and they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. And of course, this is Israel has fallen away again and turned their back. You know, there are people that I have known in over the years that have left God's church and quit believing in God, quit keeping his Sabbath, quit keeping his holy days. And I've known people that just became very, very miserable because they knew what they were doing was wrong. They knew it wasn't what God expected, and they knew better. And after being in misery for years, they came back to God. And I look at the scripture, God says, I will go back to my place. God will walk away if you push him away until they admit their guilt. And when they do, and they will seek my face, then their misery will be earnestly seeking me. Then I'm going to help them. When someone is really down and out, when they've rejected God and they're really down and out, if they still believe in God, they can come to God and he will come back to them. He will help them once again. Zechariah 8 and verse 20. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will come. And the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and to seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going, and many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem and seek the Lord Almighty to entreat him. This is the millennium. This is when everybody will have God's Holy Spirit. This is when every man will have a chance to come to God, to seek God, to look forward to God. This is where we are headed. This is what we're looking for. I'm going to stop with this verse. But just to give you an idea, God seekers have a spirit of thanksgiving. God seekers have God's guidance. God seekers are guaranteed that they will be able to find God. God guarantees, if you look for me, I will see that you find me. God seekers are promised generous blessings. God seekers are promised eternal life. God seekers are promised to have moral sensitivity. In the age we live in, moral sensitivity doesn't exist. There are no morals. Anything, you're to be tolerant. This is one of the biggest dangers in being a Christian. Is the world today wants us to be tolerant. That means you let people break God's laws around you, in front of you, and you're constantly exposed to it, but you're supposed to be nice and keep your mouth shut and not say anything. My Bible doesn't say that. God seekers are promised spiritual security. And then I have a list of men that were God seekers that we can talk about. So there's a lot of neat stuff coming. We will talk about this once again. I've enjoyed going over this with you. I started this a couple of years ago, and it was just too big, and I've just thought, well, I still want to cover this topic, though. So we're going to break this into two or three different sermons. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope that you've enjoyed being here with me, seeking God. That's what we're here for today. That's what we're all here to do.